we talked about the fact that you kind of were living a double life. You were at night being, you know, possessed by these spirits, but during the day you were working really hard to try to get away, and you were like doing a lot of stuff for the community and stuff. And that continued for a few years. During those few years, you met two people that I want to focus on. One was a boyfriend of yours that was not the greatest boyfriend in the world. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that. And another one was a Christian nurse that I think was at the program that you mentioned. So can you talk about who these two people were and how you met them?
Yes. So once I kind of got out that program, just like how you said, I've been living this double life. So a lot of people didn't know I was struggling with this, because during the day I was getting awards from the mayor, and I was a mentor, and I was a model social worker and doing a lot of things, and even in the newspaper. But then at night, just a totally different person and doing all the other things that I was doing. And so I'll never forget, at that time I was dating a woman, and it wasn't a healthy relationship. I wouldn't even say it was really a relationship, because I was using her. And I ended up meeting my son's father, and he saw me, because at that time I dressed like a guy. You know, I had a mohawk, I had, you know, basketball shorts on and a big tee, and I was actually on my way to get a haircut. And he described me as, like, when he saw me walking, almost kind of like he saw a bright light, like a bright light around me. And we bonded. I would say what the term, how people say it now, like, we trauma bonded. Because once we got to know each other, we realized that we both had similar traumas and abuse that happened in our lives. And he kind of became like my knight in shining armor. Like, the, you know how I describe me as being just like super shy almost, and like, it, you know, sensitive to the point where anything people said got to me and I would easily break down. Well, he brought out that other side of me where he'd be like, no, you know, you're powerful, and put your head up, and like kind of encourage the darkness within me, because he also had his own darkness that he had developed to protect himself. And that sometimes even felt like he was protecting me from my family. You know, like, they were against our relationship and our love, but at that time they weren't helping me to get out of this. And they were a part of the people that was saying I'm crazy and something was wrong with me. And so he kind of came in, like, again, like my little dark shining armor, dark knight in shining armor. And we started a relationship. When I got with him, I was aware that he was being introduced to witchcraft. And I almost was like pleading him, like, you know, hey, I grew up in this. I saw what my dad did. Like, I know that you're from this country, but I'm from the country where this came from. And I'm just warning you, maybe you shouldn't do this. And it was these a man and a woman who recruited him. When they saw that he was away from his family as well, but that he wanted, you know, this fame in the community, he wanted money, he wanted to be almost protected while he did the illegal things that he did, because we were selling drugs and pimping women out together. We was doing it together. But this woman promised him, like, oh, you'll make more money. You just have to worship this entity, and you got to build your altar, and you have to wear these chains, and you have to give us a certain amount of money. And whenever we tell you, you have to do these special baths. So they were calling themselves his godparents. That's what they were calling themselves. And I have no forget where I was just like, you know what? I want to meet these people, because they sound to me like what my dad was doing, and they're just getting you for your money and luring you into darkness. And so that became a huge fight between us. At this time, I had my daughter already. She was already getting older. She was about 7. That was another thing we bonded over, because he had a brother with special needs, and we would like kind of relate on that. But yeah, I really didn't like that. And since he knew that I didn't like it, he basically was being with other women, and in their house, he would have the altar. Like, it would be in another place that he had set up his altar, because I told him I didn't want it in my house. And he basically said, like, well, you can do whatever you want to do, but this is going to be my new religion. And I believe in it. It's protecting me. It's bringing me money. It's making sure I don't go to jail. Where sure enough, a lot of bad things actually happened to him. Whenever he couldn't give them money, whenever he couldn't give something or do something for the spirits or whatever the whatever it was he was worshiping, then all of a sudden things would go haywire. And so that relationship was very, very toxic, very, very, you know, a traumatic relationship for me, because there would even be times where he wasn't himself, and then he would come and he would hurt me. He just would hurt me. And, you know, then now it was even triggering me, where now I felt like that same darkness I have fought so hard to like push away, I thought I had completely left me, it was coming back. And now I'm back to being them different personalities all over again with him, to the point where, again, it drove me really crazy. And I had to try to seek help again, you know. So that was when I met him, and how I felt like the darkness tried to creep back in, you know, through him. Because almost like I was like thinking to myself, if I stay in this relationship and I stay with him, it brings out this side of me where I feel, again, powerful and in control. And I liked how people feared him, and how also people knew that like they couldn't mess with me because I was with him, you know? So because a part of me was like liking it, but then there's another part where I could easily say like there was domestic violence going on. There was a lot of, you know, sexual abuse, like just cheating, just like really, really just, you know, just bad things. Again, and what we was doing to the different girls that we were manipulating into working for us, and all of that stuff was going on in that relationship. And I was like basically in a point where I was trying to get away from him, but felt stuck. And I ended up becoming pregnant. I ended up becoming pregnant with his child.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that child, that pregnancy, and what happened with it. But there was a little bit of a situation. I mean, I think literally you had the little angel and the little like devil on the shoulder, like probably in the spirit, but there's also something like that in the physical world with him and with the Christian nurse that I mentioned about. So you talked about your ex-boyfriend. Now, can you explain who was that nurse that I've been referring to?
So that where she comes in the story is during our relationship, you know, I ended up moving. So my daughter, I don't know if I even got to say this. I, you know, even though they found the marijuana in my system, that didn't affect my daughter. But when I gave birth to my daughter, she ended up being born and caught an infection during the delivery. And that infection went up her spinal cord and actually damaged her parts of her brain that's responsible for motor activity. So till this day, my daughter doesn't walk. She can't talk. She has seizures. She's on multiple medications. And I had to become her full-time caregiver, and I had to go through all that. So in the midst of everything that everybody's hearing, like I was dealing with this, like raising a child with special needs. And like I mentioned a little bit, that was how me and him bonded, because the same disability she had, his brother had. So he was the only person who came in and helped. Not even her father was helping me, but he would. And he would like, no, I know what to do during her seizure. And he would babysit and watch. So again, that's why I fell for him. And so what would happen is, so I could be able to go to work, and so I could finish college. I would have these nurses that were contracted and paid for by the state. And every once in a while, the nurses would change. And it's crazy because there were some nurses that when they came to my house and they saw what was going on and they met him, they refused to come back, which that would set me back. Because without them coming in to alleviate or to work those hours, again, I lost my job a whole bunch of times. And it was because of having to raise my daughter with special needs that I ended up being kind of forced into starting my own business. But I'll never forget this one nurse, which, you know, she'll probably see this too. And I'm grateful for her. And it hurts me that I hurt her unintentionally because I was going through some things. But she was like a light, because she was assigned to my house, and she was the first one that didn't leave, that she didn't give up on us. And I would notice that she wouldn't want to say anything to me whenever he was there. And so then one day when he wasn't there, she came up to me and she saw how sad I was. And I was explaining it to her, like, I'm pregnant with his child and I don't want to have it. I've been kind of trying to see how I can get out of this relationship, but I almost feel stuck. He's isolated me from everyone who loves me at this point. My family don't want nothing to do with me. And I was like, I'm already scared. I have my daughter with special needs. How can I raise her and raise another child? And so in my mind, I just was like, I have to have an abortion. I can't have this baby. But she was just like, no, don't do it, Liz. Like, I'm telling you, you got this. You think that this baby's going to come into your life and hinder you. Before all you know, this baby might come into your life and just be a help, you know, a help to you and a help to what you got going on. You know, she's like, I even have some other sisters at the church. We'll help you. You know, and this was just like her trying to encourage me. But despite her saying all of that, I still was just like, I don't know. You know.
Yeah, and I think it was the next day that you had an appointment scheduled that to get an abortion, and something pretty incredible happened. So, can you talk about what happened on that day?
Yeah. So, you know, even though the lady was trying to convince me, I had my mind set, and I set the appointment. And I remember getting there to the Planned Parenthood, and I paid them the money. $350 at that time, like, which is crazy. Like, you're paying money for them to do a murder. But I was very ignorant at that time. And I don't know, maybe other women believed what I believed, which was they just made it seem like, oh, it's just a little egg. You know, it's just a little egg that you're getting rid of today. And so I'll never forget. I paid the money. I go to the back room and I get undressed and everything, and I'm all ready to go. And the lady comes in and she's like, we can't do it today because something seems off. We're going to actually have to send you to another place to do like another level type of ultrasound. She's like, we're supposed to do an initial ultrasound before we start. And as I'm doing yours, I'm seeing something almost looks like a growth. And, you know, sometimes we see other things. So we just want to confirm that there's not something else going on with your body before we do this. And they actually returned me my money back that day and set my appointment up to this other place, which it wasn't until like a week out. And so then now I'm at the other place. And sure enough, she starts saying, well, at the other place, it wasn't a woman, it was a guy. And he sits me down, I get an ultrasound, and I start getting checked. And after I get checked, he was like, you know what, I did the ultrasound, and it seems like everything is fine. And I was like, oh, well, that's weird. They made it seem like something was off at the other place. He was like, nope, everything is fine. So you're more than welcome to go ahead and set your appointment up, and you can go through with your abortion. And as he was standing up, the monitor that you can see what's going on when you're doing the ultrasound, he had it turned towards him, but it accidentally turned a little bit towards me to where I could kind of see what was going on. And I found that funny because soon as I caught a glimpse, I swore I could see like a fully formed baby already. And he was so quick to turn the screen, and he was like, oh, I'm so, so sorry. I wasn't allowed. I'm supposed to let you see that. I'm not supposed to influence you in no way whatsoever, you know, with your decision. Just know that you can still do it. You know, we do this all the way up until 25 weeks. Like, he kept using the word weeks, which 25 weeks, that's almost like 5 months within the pregnancy. I had no idea that I was that far along, because this Planned Parenthood was the first time I'd gone to an appointment. I hadn't gone to no prenatals or any like that to kind of confirm this pregnancy besides them. And so imagine, because I was under so much stress, I was still really thin. It wasn't like I was showing or had a belly or any of that. And so I said to him, I said, wait a minute, what did you say? I was like, I'm not worried about you influencing me. Can you just show me what I just saw? You know, like, I know you keep saying 25 weeks. So I have my phone right with me. I start Googling it, and I'm like, 25 weeks. That means the baby's this big. And he was like, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so, so sorry. I was like, let me see. And he turned the monitor back, and sure enough, like, I could see my son. Like, he was already fully formed, hands, feet, everything. And literally he was like dancing, like almost doing flips inside my stomach. You know, and I was just like, I can't do this. I can't go through with this. I had no idea. I instantly just felt really, really bad, you know, and I was just like, I don't care what you're saying. I don't want to go through with this anymore. I can't do it. I didn't know that he was this big inside of me, you know, so I ended up leaving that day the appointment.
Yeah, and I think they hide the monitor and the information because they know that if women would see that, a lot of them would actually change their minds and they would not want to do it. But it's their business model. If they don't get abortions, they don't make money. Exactly. So they purposefully hide that from women, which I think is one of the most horrible things you can do. anyway, there's something that you forgot to mention about the first appointment that I think is very, very important. Before you even walked into the Planned Parenthood for the initial appointment, there was something happening outside and you forgot to mention it. So yes. I'll give you time to talk about
it. Yes. And, you know, and I was going to mention it now, but I just remember that day when I went to go have the abortion, that there was a whole bunch of people outside praying, you know, and I remember just feeling, I didn't feel like they were bad people, but I felt so judged in that moment, you know, and a part of me just was just like, man, you know, I know they're out there praying because what I'm about to do is wrong, but you know, I just didn't know what else to do. And so I'll never forget that though. There was like, and I even say when I tell people my story, I even feel like the woman that was assigned to me that day, that she definitely had a hand in this as well. Because what are the odds that she claims that I get turned away that day, but then when I go to the next appointment, what she saw, she says she saw wasn't there, you know? And so I almost feel like she was giving me that opportunity too, to almost change my mind and change my decision, you know? So I feel like if it wasn't for the people praying out there, and if it wasn't for her, and if it wasn't for that monitor accidentally turning like that, I probably wouldn't be, you know, telling this story and having my amazing son who's 9 years old now and, you know, a little genius that actually helps me a lot, just like how the Nigerian woman had prophesied and said about him and his personality, you know. So I could definitely see how these chain of events were being orchestrated by somebody way bigger than me.
Right. It's a lot of coincidences for it to be a coincidence.